Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Lovie Smith, the Bears head coach, and let's get out to the Home Run Inn Pizza Hotline. For pizzeria taste at your next tailgate, try Home Run Inn on the grill. And there we find Hub Arkish from Pro Football Weekly, the publisher, as we like to say, and of course the Bears pregame host here on The Score. Wow, Hub, I guess Lovie cleared up everything, huh?
Yeah, that was really enlightening. The problem in there, guys, is that what caused his obvious consternation was a somewhat of an untruth in there, which was where he said, when we have information, we'll give it to you.
Yeah, that doesn't happen either.
Yeah, no, they won't. And if they would, they wouldn't have this problem. So the thing that's puzzled me from the beginning, and I read your take on it, Mike, and I know I heard Moon Mullen talking about it last week as far as trying to explain what the reason for all this mystery might be. And I'm not a buyer on that. I understand that he may be a free agent next year and he's worried about his next contract and everything, but this is something that you can't hide. I mean, you know, once he gets into the free agency market, he's got to pass those physicals. All those medical records have to be there. It's not like they're going to pull one over on anybody. So I don't understand why they can't just tell the truth about it and move on.
And the other thing, Hub, you know, it's not like other teams didn't know how the injury happened or which leg it is or anything else. I mean, it was there for everyone to see. It's not some subtle thing that happened. And, you know, like hockey, you could say upper body, lower body. We all saw the horrific play in the last game of the regular season. Thought, my God, you know, what the hell just happened there? So if someone wants to test out that knee and take a helmet to it and see how he holds up, it's going to happen either way.
Well, yeah, I think what really may be at least part of the issue here, maybe it's a bigger part than we're giving it credit for, is that, you know, by making the choice to go over there to Germany and get away from the team doctors and the usual prescribed, methods of rehab on this, he parted ways with the Bears. No NFL team is going to be able to agree to or support that. Because it's a procedure that's not FDA cleared here. And what it does, I think you might have made reference to it, Mike, is it does create certain liability issues for both the player and the team. And you know, my sense is, or at least the only thing that I can get my arms around, is that they may be playing it this way because Urlacher and the team had a parting of the ways about this. That there may be, I'm sure the Bears medical people weren't thrilled about it. Now, if in fact they advised him along these lines and said maybe it's a good idea, now they've got some exposure for themselves there that they really don't want to have. So it's just a tough thing to understand why this has to be the mystery that it is.
Yeah, and again, I think that the problem with this sort of an attitude is you get a story like David Hall writes today in the newspaper, and the partner of the guy in Germany is a guy named Chris Renna, who operates out of Los Angeles. And by all accounts, he is pretty good at what he does. And yet he was mentioned as perhaps a supplier of the clear to Victor Conti. Never convicted of that, never brought up in court, but apparently in a newspaper story, he was mentioned as that. And he met Conti through Bill Romanowski. So people keep digging, people keep talking about it, and now you're linking. And I don't believe Brian has any issues along those lines. And certainly this procedure is nothing like that. It is not a PED. It is all the body's natural healing ability. But now you got a story with links, different names that you really don't want that stink around you.
Well, that's exactly it, Mike. And I haven't read Dave's piece yet this morning, but it keeps coming back to the same thing. Just tell the truth, and you're going to be okay. You know, I mean, nobody's going to say, oh, my God, why'd they do that? I'm not buying tickets anymore. I'm not watching this. They're not going to blame anybody. But the more mysterious you try and be, the more, confusion and consternation that you create. And now you got a story that won't go away, and now you got coaches and I'm sure players being disturbed by it and being distracted by it.
Hub, can they get by, say September 9th comes and goes and Brian's not out there, can they get by even for a couple weeks without Brian Urlacher? And by getting by, I mean, how much does missing him at this point in his career change their possibilities of winning games each week?
Well, you know, Brian, they catch a break early because two of those, you open with Indianapolis, then you have to go to Green Bay 4 days later. I think that's what troubles everybody is if he's not 100%, even if he plays against Indianapolis, how does he bounce back in 2-3 days and play again in one of the biggest games of the year? But then that third game is the Rams. So, you know, when we say can they get by without Brian, I think most people would agree they're going to be at least 2-1, you know, maybe 3-0, but at least 2-1 regardless. I don't see the ninth as the bigger part of the problem. I think if Urlacher says he's going to be there, he's going to be there. What bothers me about this is that this knee is obviously not 100%, and I'm afraid this problem is going to linger for 16 weeks. I mean, you may have him playing on the ninth. You know, maybe he can't bounce back with the 3-day turnaround and he misses the Packer game. Then maybe he comes back and plays a game or two. Then maybe it gets bad again. I just fear that this is going to be a chronic situation all season long, and I don't think that it's in their best interest or that defense is going to play their best football if they don't know if he's their middle linebacker on or off from week to week all season.
Hub Arcus joining us, Mully and Hanley on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. And Hub, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Dustin Rhodes is a big proponent of starting Blake Costanza at middle linebacker and not moving Nick Roach over there. And I just dismissed the whole idea. And I told him, look, that's not what they're going to do. They like Roach in the middle. They're going to. But then I'm driving home and I'm thinking to myself, you know, they're doing the sin. And I understand the offensive line is a different group because it's a team within a team and everybody has to be together. But what you do on an offensive line if you have an injury is you want to bring a guy, you want to have a third tackle. You want to bring somebody in who can get you out of a game, start a game for you, because you don't want to move people around. And now that's what they're doing. To replace one player, they're changing two positions. They're bringing in Geno Hayes and they're moving Roach over. So you're weaker at two positions instead of one position. And I don't know if Costanza can play or not, but it underscores to me the fact that you've got a 34-year-old middle linebacker coming off surgery and you didn't make a move, really. You didn't do anything. You went into a season rolling the dice at that position like you have with some other ones.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's truth in that, although I think what they're saying, you have to ask yourself the question, what about DeSico? I think that's why he was on the team. Wasn't he the backup inside linebacker or middle linebacker?
Yeah, fair. See, I think maybe he doesn't make the team. Is that reason that they're playing the other guy behind him?
He's not going to make the team because not only did you bring in Costanza, you brought in Geno Hayes.
Right. Yes.
So I think, though, that in this case, maybe what they're thinking is Geno Hayes is pushing Nick Roach on the outside anyway. Geno Hayes may be the better player out there. Okay. I'm not sure Nick Roach was going to hold on to his starting spot out there.
Wow, really?
I think going into camp, that was the feeling. Now, I didn't see anything in Bourbonnais to suggest to me that that was going to happen. But I know that that was the thinking in the off season, is that Geno Hayes could be an upgrade out there. He was one of the leading tacklers for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. You ask yourself why they let him get away.
Right.
They weren't thrilled with him. But, you know, Nick Roach is a great story. I don't know that he's been a great player. And so I'm not so sure in their minds that they think that they're avoiding weakening themselves at two positions. They may think putting Hayes on the outside is how they would have ended up anyway, so it makes sense to put Roach inside because he's better than Costanza or DeSico.
That's interesting stuff. The injury to the punter, Hub, I mean, I know a lot of people kind of look at some of those certain positions, maybe long snapper, punter, kicker, as not having the same kind of value, but I'll tell you what, when you miss one, boy, you know, I was out at in San Francisco years ago when the Giants lost their long snapper, and whew, you get eliminated from the playoffs as a result. And certainly, you know, you look at the punter, and I guess the general feeling around town is the Bears won't need to punt. But last time I checked, that can be a weapon too.
Yeah, I think it is potentially huge. I kind of like the Quigley kid. I know we don't see much of these special teams guys, or particularly the kickers, during training camp, but the little bit I saw, he seemed to have the leg. He is a rookie. You don't know what he's going to do. The advantage is that he can place kick and kick off as well. Now, I believe the deal is they brought Matt Dodge in but didn't sign him, so it may be that they like the Quigley kid too. I think the issue here is what we talk about with Podlish. I mean, because if you're going to play with a roster spot to carry an extra punter, then you're talking about, you know, a chunk of the season or possibly season ending. I haven't heard anybody say that yet. I hope that's not the case. I realize it's going to be worse on a hip and a punter than it is in another position, but a hip flexor doesn't seem like it should be a you know, 6, 8, 10 week injury. So I think that one we got to watch and learn some more about. My hope would be, though, that they can get away with Quigley until Pavlish is ready. You know, they've got this new rule about the injured reserve. I don't think you'd want to go that route and commit for half a season. So, you know, at least a guy like Quigley, who both punts and plays kicks, it would be a better use of what really, quite frankly, is a wasted roster spot if you got to carry three guys.
No question about it. Hub Arkish, Pro Football Weekly, and, of course, the Bears pregame here on The Score. Hub, great talking to you. Really appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Take care,
Hub.
And you can follow Hub on Twitter, as we do, twitter.com/Hub_Arkish. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.